Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
And what if that land is located in South Hadley, Massachusetts? Well, then you must be at the Odyssey Bookstore, and that means you are in for a treat because it's one of the great independent bookstores in our region, and we are so lucky to have it, and we are so lucky to have Joan Grenier with us, the owner of Odyssey Bookstore, and who is here to share with us an incredible list of books, really, really good stuff. And it's always a pleasure to have Joan here.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to make it here.
I know. It's such a trek for you, and I so
appreciate it. It was really raining back home, so it's nice that it's not raining so much here.
We always appreciate
And I didn't make any wrong turns.
No, you do everything right.
Oh, no.
So I have to say, so this is what's so cool about the Odyssey, is that not only do you feature these amazing books, but you have a book on your list, which is a book that has been getting incredible buzz, and it has I've just read wonderful reviews of it, and it's written by a woman who is one of your booksellers.
Yes,
that is so cool.
We are so excited to be launching this book. It's her name's Chrysler Zarlin. Chrysler, like the building, not the car. And the name of the book is The Hawley Book of the Dead, H-A-W-L-E-Y, which is a town in the foothills of the Pioneer Valley and kind of on the border with the Berkshires. I guess they would dispute where it really belongs.
Okay,
but
well.
It's Western Massachusetts, okay?
Sounds good.
So the first sentence is really one that grabs you. I'm going to read that. On the day I killed my husband, the scent of lilacs startled me awake.
Wow.
Now, Reeve and her husband are magicians in Las Vegas. They've been doing this for many years. They're, you know, think David Copperfield talent. And they're doing a Defying the Bullets, you know, skit that they've done for years and years where she shoots him. This time, somebody has put real bullets in the gun and she kills her husband. Mm. So it is... you know, obviously, it's overwhelming for her and her three daughters, and somebody is out to get them. So eventually, they head back to Western Massachusetts and to the town of Hawley. This book has mystery. It has lots of suspense. You never know which way Chrysler's going to go with this book, and it keeps you turning the page. So she's back there with her daughters. But somebody is definitely following them, and a couple of her daughters disappear. They're in a town where children have disappeared historically. So you have some New England history. You have women with magical powers, and you just can't put this book down. Reeve is the heroine here, and but it takes her a while to figure out her magic because she has not understood it. And the Hawley Book of the Dead is helping her. She's gotten great reviews, as you say, book list, PW starred reviews, and there's a lot of buzz going on about this book. We are launching it. Ooh, where did I put the date? There it is, next Tuesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. And we are going to have an incredible evening of enchantment, and there's going to be some witch's brew, and there's even talk of a disappearance, and you're just going to have to come and see this, hear Chrysler, and read this wonderful book.
Great stuff. It is The Hawley Book of the Dead by Chrysler Zarlin, and it's published by Ballantine. And check it out. It's very, very cool, and especially... So would she come in and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a little groggy today, I was up all night writing, or...
I don't know if she would say that. I mean, she's been a lawyer. She has been a magician's assistant. She rides horses. There's a lot with horses riding in the Holly Forest in this book.
But as she was being a bookseller working for you guys, you knew she was writing a novel.
We did. But, you know, there's a lot of writers out there, and they don't always get published. And this is going to be a trilogy.
That's so very cool.
We're very, very excited.
Well, good for you. And certainly congratulations to Chrysler. And check out the book launch, and we'll give you the information for that at the end of the segment. Next up, Joan.
I just got this book yesterday, and I felt like I had to talk about it. It's called To the Village Square by Lionel Delavan. And that's pretty close to the pronunciation. To the Village Square is an Albert Einstein quote from 1946. To the Village Square, we must carry the facts of atomic energy. From these must come America's voice. This book starts actually in Western Massachusetts. It's called From Montague to Fukushima, 1975 to 2014. And Lionel has been is a photojournalist and has been documenting all the efforts by citizens to stop nuclear power. And there has not been a nuclear power plant, a new one, built in 30 years, thanks to some of these efforts. There are some amazing photographs in here going back to the 70s and 80s, and then going on to Seabrook, New Hampshire, where there was quite the Clamshell Alliance worked for so many years to try to prevent that plant. It then goes on to Harrisburg, to Three Mile Island, the meltdown, near meltdown there, and some of the protests around that. And then it also includes Chernobyl. So the pictures go from kind of black and white to color.
Right.
And then to Fukushima. And we're hoping to have an event with him in November. And there will be a discussion about the status of nuclear energy. In our area, we have these groups, protesters, have managed to shut down Vermont Yankee, although everybody has to be vigilant around how it's shut down because the materials are so dangerous and last for so long. The next book I want to talk about, excuse me, maybe you've been watching the Roosevelt series on PBS.
Absolutely.
Which Jeffrey Ward and Ken Burns have the companion book, which I'm not quite sure how much it weighs, but it's
12 pounds.
12 pounds.
I have no idea, but it's a hefty volume.
And it has over almost 800 photos in it. It's really an amazing book. One of the things that my husband and I did this summer is we did visit the Presidential Library in Hyde Park, his home, and also Val Kill. We spent a couple days there. It's such an amazing place.
Isn't it incredible?
It really is. So I think this is going to be a book that families are going to want. I mean, this is the film is amazing, but this has a lot of the never before seen photos of the three Roosevelts, Teddy, Eleanor, and Franklin. And what I've seen of the series is really great so far.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I have to say that Ken Burns, of course, is the director of these films and behind the project. But Jeffrey Ward, who
amazing
is a longtime collaborator with Ken Burns, but he is one of the foremost Roosevelt scholars in the world, and is an amazing writer and an amazing talent. I've interviewed him on this show many times, and he's just an incredible human being. And the book, which I had in a galley, and every once in a while you get to a really good part, and they'd say photo to come, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
So I'm glad that the book is out. But boy, it's well written and beautiful.
It is.
It's really
cool.
So
I think I know it's early for a holiday. Thinking about holiday gifts, but I think this is going to be a major one for the holidays.
Beautiful book. It is The Roosevelts, An Intimate History by Jeffrey Ward and Ken Burns. It's out from Knopf.
Now, I don't know if you know Nava Atlas because she's from the Hudson Valley, but her new cookbook is Plant Power.
Excellent.
Transform your kitchen, plate, and life with more than 150 fresh and flavorful vegan recipes. And she has a great website called vegkitchen.com. She's going to be with us this Thursday at 7 p.m. last night I made the quinoa paella from this book, and it's really, really delicious. I'm not a vegan, but I'm sort of like third vegan, third vegetarian, and third chicken and fish.
Right.
And I'm trying to, you know, learn more about these plants and grains and how to combine them. And this is a great book. It has a lot of good photographs, a lot of introductory, you know, where are you going to get your protein if you're plant-based?
Yeah.
The food values are there, and variations, which I really like. So you know how much protein and other things you're getting. And she will also be bringing samples. One will be a Middle Eastern platter, and the other is hummus and quinoa in a wrap, and also an Asian flavored kale salad. So I'm very much looking forward to this book and her event. And I think this book is great for whether you're vegetarian or vegan or not.
It's a beautiful book. It's a really pretty book.
Yes.
It is Plant Power by Nava Atlas, and it's published by HarperCollins.
And the next one I'm going to do in this book is Coconut Curried Vegetable Stew. Doesn't that sound good?
I love coconut.
I do.
I am such a fan of coconut.
I never grew up eating it, but now I do.
Now that you're a third vegan.
Well, I guess that's true. Now we're going to go on to some novels. It's really a great season for books, I think. The first one I want to talk about is Susan Vreeland's Lisette's List.
Yes.
Have you read it?
I have.
I loved it.
That's
I really love her.
I love her as an author. I think she's a wonderful writer.
So I really think this is an art lover's delight, whether you're a painter or not, if you appreciate art and Impressionism, you're going to really love this book. It's set primarily in Provence, in a small village of Roussillon, we think.
Yes.
In the 1930s and 1940s, although Paris also features prominently. Lisette and André, her husband, leave Paris for the less cosmopolitan village of André's family in order to help out his aging grandfather, Pascal, who was one of my favorite characters in the book. Lisette is disappointed at being dragged out of Paris and missing the excitement of the art world in the city. But World War II and Vichy intervene and delay her return to Paris for years. And although loss and loneliness envelop her, she is really sustained by the village friends and the art of Cézanne, Pissarro, Chagall, and Picasso. She actually meets Chagall, and she meets Samuel Beckett while she's picking grapes. I learned a lot about okra mines. You know, I knew nothing about them, and that I find that very interesting. The annual Mistral winds, and how to survive in a war-torn occupied countryside. Her language is so finely textured that we are really transported to the lovely landscape of southern France. And I was really left with a desire to travel there. I looked up the town on the web, and it looks really beautiful.
It's a beautiful book, and as you said, with a love of painting and a love of painters, it's just really a lot of fun to read.
Yes. The next is Anne Hood's Italian Wife.
I am Anne Hood, one of Anne Hood's biggest fans.
Well, we just had her at the store, so we do have signed
copies.
She's
a hoot.
She is.
She's a hoot.
She is, and this is, you know, about the place where she grew up. She grew up in West Warwick, Rhode Island, an Italian-American community. And this book covers 100 years. You know, it starts when 15-year-old Josephine Rinaldi has an arranged marriage and, you know, meets her husband for the first time on their wedding day or the second time. And then he disappears. He comes to America, and she sort of forgets about him. But 9 years later, he sends for her, and then she raises a family in Rhode Island. And so we go through a number, I think it's like five generations of Rinaldi women. There's quite a bit of the men are often going off to war because there's World War I, there's World War II, there's Vietnam. One of the sons comes back shell-shocked from World War I. The marriages are not so happy throughout the generations. There's a pretty disgusting, lecherous priest in the book. And so there's a lot going on, but it really shows you that tight-knit Italian-American community, but then how people leave that for the suburbs and leave some of that culture and that food and the religion. And Anne was just great talking about it because, you know, it's kind of where she's come from. It's not her family, but she knows the people in the book.
And she has such an enthusiasm and in person, but also in her writing. And it's gorgeous prose. And there's a very much of a lovely pace because the story is so well told, and yet there are still those moments where you can just bathe in the words, and it's really beautiful. I'm a huge fan of Manhood. I can't wait to read it. The Italian Wife is her latest, and it's from out from our friends at Norton.
Yes. A book that I've almost finished. I was trying to finish it late last night. I will finish it today. The Story of Land and Sea by Katie Simpson Smith. And Katie is actually a graduate of Mount Holyoke from the class of 2006, which it's amazing. She already has a PhD in history from University of North Carolina and an MFA from Bennington. And she's an adjunct professor at Tulane. This is set during the late 1800s in North Carolina. The War of Independence is kind of winding down, but of course, you know, there's not a lot of communication. So even though the treaty's been signed, there are British warships outside in the harbor. It also involves slavery at that time. One of the things that, for me, connected Italian Wife and the Story of Land and Sea was limited choices for women. And there's an interesting courtship that goes on with the main character, Helen, who is not interested in, you know, the suitors that are proposed by her father, and instead ends up with a soldier who once was a pirate. And there's also women dying in childbirth, which was fairly common. Her father's wife dies when she's born, and then she has a child and dies in childbirth also, and her husband John brings up that child. The prose is just amazing. And just, you know, since she's a historian, she really can set you in that time. And they're turpentine plantations, which, again, I didn't know very much about that. But she is going to be with us at the end of the month on, I know I have that here
one
somewhere,
of those days.
September 29th at 7 p.m. So we're really looking forward to it. And I can't recommend this book more highly. I was kind of surprised how good it was. Sometimes first novels are lacking.
Well, she's going to be on the show. We look forward to it. We're going to talk to her before your event.
So, oh, great.
We look forward to having her on the program and look forward to hearing her story. Hey, look, there's all kinds of great stuff happening at the Odyssey Bookstore. Did we forget one?
Well, it's one that I could talk about for 20 minutes. So I don't know if we have
we don't have
20 minutes.
We have a minute.
But let me just mention it. Dog Whistle Politics, How Coded Racial Appeals Have Reinvented Racism and Wrecked the Middle Class. He's a Berkeley law professor. It's an amazing book. It's an academic book from Oxford. And he really looks at all those codes and explains why the Republican Party is 98% white, and at the local level especially, and how people don't come right out and talk, maybe not say racism, but there's all kinds of coded appeals. And that is one reason the middle class is declining.
Dog Whistle Politics by Ian Lopez, published by Oxford. For more information on the Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts, visit them. They're at 9 College Street in South Hadley. It is a wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous bookstore that you'll just go in and can spend a weekend. Call them if you want to check out more information as well, 413-534-7307, or visit them online, odysseybks.com, to find out about all of the cool events coming up, including including Katie Simpson Smith, including Chrysler Zarlin, including Mike Lupica, including Lauren Oliver. All cool
Neva
stuff.
Neva Atlas.
So wonderful.
And in
events.
October, we have Bob Herbert coming from the New York Times. We have Richard Blanco, the inaugural poet, coming. We have Marlon Jones, an incredible fiction writer.
It's all good.
All good. All the time.
OdysseyBKS.com. Joan, love you. Thanks so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.